Je te remercie. Prochaine question, Arpen?
Good morning, Joel.
Morning.
Bad news on both fronts there. I want to ask you a bit more of a general question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
We often hear you use the word program when discussing what you're trying to build with the rocket, and that's a term that we usually use, or I usually hear at least, in associated with like college football or college basketball. Like it's more of a college term, I guess. To you, if you had to define the Laval rocket program, how would you define it?
Well, first, why is that a program? It's not a team. NHL is a team, and we have too much movement and personnel, too much of stuff we don't control that you have to call the program, because you can be playing really well and you can lose seven, eight guys and it's like that. You're hit from everywhere, from your own injury, from your NHL club, and you don't make all the decision. As a coach, I'm not making all the decision. I got handcuffed by the reality of the AHL. So it's hard. Everybody says it's the hardest league to coach, and it is in some way, because you could be flying high one week and the other week and people just look at scores. So it can grind on the coach, it can grind on the people in the environment if it's not a program. When it's a program, then you have a mindset, you have a philosophy, you include everybody, you have a lot more player, a little bit like you talked about NCAA. That's why I call it a program, because the goal is to develop the program for NHL player. I haven't lost any sight. What's the primary job of the Montreal Canadiens? Win the Stanley Cup. That's the number one job. That's the only job. If there's no Stanley Cup, let's do something else. So it starts with our program helping out. You see this guy going up and helping the Habs. And we still have to win in a w we still have to play in a winning environment. So for me, it's to coach the player to have the tool to have success when they go to the NHL. Our job is to create an environment that's a winning mindset, that pay attention to details. Everybody's going to win games and lose some games. And when that's going to happen. I mean, nobody's going to go for 1,000 in winning percentage, and nobody's going to go for zero. But now, and everybody's going to be fairly decently close somehow. How can you get that game? How can you get that more player? How can you get by details, by environment, by attitude, by what we're creating here?
And so further to that, I look at a guy like, I'm trying to look at guys that have been in the program for a while, like Vedemo, for example, who is, taken some steps and is probably, kind of on the cusp of being an NHL player, right? How has the environment that you just described benefited a guy like him, who I think, speaking from my point of view, or I think generally speaking, I don't know how many people saw him eventually getting to the NHL, but now it seems like he has a path there. How has that approach benefited a guy like him?
Well, I mean, all I know is when Venmo come with like everybody else, it'd be Jake Evans, it'd be Cale Fleury, it'd be Josh Brooke. I look at the way they play, and obviously they all got drafted or signed with us because they have attribute. And now I'm looking at how they are and say, how can we make them to be NHL player at one point or be the best version of themselves? My job as a coach is to make sure every player, when they go on the ice, is a better version of themselves than the out shift and shift out. Now, will they have a little lapse? Yeah. But if you look at the big graph, they have to be the best player that they can be with what they have. And quicker they understand what's give them success, quicker they're going to have success. So in the case of Veggie, it was to adjust to North American hockey and other things that, obviously you have strength and you have weaknesses. Well, how can we help so the strengths are better? And the weaknesses, because everybody does have some, we all make mistakes. So this is where I go. I cannot talk for all the other 30 coach in the NHL. They're all great coach. They're a good coach I got there. This is how I see it. How can I make the best version with him, obviously, as a partnership, a Veggie 2.0 or a Venmo that comes with us that has this and this to work on. And then we look at him a few years later and we say, well, that got a lot better. Every time we talk about Jake Evans, the first year was his space. It was about his skating, what about him playing direct hockey. If you look at Jake now, his pace has got to the NHL. He even looks fast in game I watch. but it was an effort from Jake. It was Jake that understood. And same thing with Venmo, understanding the job as a center in North America is different than the job probably as a center, a lot more detailed in your game in North America. So credit to the player if they can progress is because they're understanding what's given them success.
So just one more, if I can, when you're identifying the strengths and weaknesses of a player and addressing them with the player, are those strengths and weaknesses based on winning the next game or being a consistent winner in the AHL, or are they based on here are the strengths and weaknesses that you need to address to get to the NHL, as what you mentioned at the beginning there?
The success, you're going to think about it. If a guy's played the right way in the NHL and he's a good player, you think he's going to come to the AHL and not be very good? So yeah, it's all related in some way. I know what you mean. You mean, do you teach them so he's, you know, he helps you win in the NHL, AHL, and, you know, and then you let him go on a few things. So, and the answer is no, because there's only one way to win is try to be the best version of yourself, and everybody else does. So it's a good question because, you know, I mean, I always tell them you drive 16 minutes. Well, I mean, now it's we're at the Bell Center, but when we're at Place Bell, you drive 16, 17 minutes south. It's not going to get easier. Like, it's not true that the NHL is easier than the AHL. Anybody that tells you this, that tells you, oh, it's easier to play in NHL, it's a bowl of crap. Because if it was, they would pay guys million in the AHL and thousands in the AHL. So best player in the NHL, and my job with the player is the partnership to make them understand what will make them have success in a long-term career and, you know, earn their money and have their career and have, win championship maybe if you know, they're involved in good. So this is what we do. And to be honest, some guys, it takes 2 minutes. Like Alex Belzile came in off East Coast a year and changed in the AHL and played in, and was like open arms about getting better and understanding what he needs to do to be there. There's other guys where they either don't really want to do the effort because it's hard to be an AHL player. If you guys think it's easy, oh my God, it's hard. So guys that don't, they want to do it my way, like Frank Sinatra style. Good luck, man. It's not going to work. We can tell. But we were lucky here in our program that guys bought in. Some guys needed the more, you know, some guys had to sit for an hour and 10 minutes with them and explaining and letting them voice themselves. Okay, why do you think this is good? Well, I think that, and all of a sudden, we always come to an agreement. And there's players that try, but the reality is that it's a pyramid. Not everybody's good enough to play in the AHL, then they out, shift and shift out, right?
All right. Okay, thank you.
We'll go with Amy Johnson.
Thank you. Good morning, Joel. Kind of going back to Anthony's original question, I know you spoke about this in French, but in English, can you describe a bit the three injuries that were announced this morning with
Pizzetta? Well, devastating. Pizzetta. It's been a bit of a cloud because we like those guys so much and what they've brought, and it's been the tough part about hockey. I've been injured a lot, and you know, as much as the performance were really good against Belleville, we didn't feel great on the way back home because we lost a couple of our boys that, you know, are long term. So with Michael getting surgery and, you know, he's going to have a full recovery, but with the other two, we'll need surgery, and they were a big part of what we do and guys that were invested, and everybody's kind of feeling the bit of the pain they have too. So it's unfortunate. Like I said, to the media people with the Habs, let's get over with on Monday. It's kind of a band-aid you want to pull in some way. Those guys are so important, and we know what it is to be a pro and have a career, and we all gonna be with them. We're not, like I told Teasdale and Joe and Pez, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna be right there with you, but it's unfortunate that they had to end their season that way.
For Teasdale, particularly being the same knee, the same injury that took so long to recover the last time, can you talk a bit about the, you know, support system that needs to be in place to keep him moving forward as well?
Yeah, I mean, guy missed 21 months. He comes back and played that way. That's the great news. Like I told him, if he had one goal, one assist in 23 games, 24 games, mentally that would be even tougher. Now he knows he can perform. He knows what he has to do. It's pretty impressive the season he had with that amount of, you know, game missed as a rookie, to be honest. Like, it was his first year pro. So obviously we're going to support him as an organization, and we're going to do the same with, you know, Pezzetta and with Joe. It's not fun. I've been there a lot, and it's that's where the game tested you, and everybody sees, you know, the highlight goal and the big contract and the smile and the Instagram, and everybody sees the glam of being a pro athlete. But I can tell you, it's, there's a lot more character situation and adversity, and that's not always shown for a lot of those guys. That's their living. So again, it's kind of the worst press conference I got to do today. Just not great, to be honest. Not great.
Just finally, kind of going along with that, as you say, rip the Band-Aid off today, does it balance it a little bit to get your captain back from the taxi squad and have a little bit of leadership, that additional leadership in the room?
Yeah, obviously, Xavier is a guy we like. He's done well when he was with the Habs. Now, you know, we have to make sure that Xavier as an organization stays sharp too. You never know what can happen. He's a guy that's always playing well when he's playing with the Habs, and he's been such a leader for us along what we're building in the program. So Xavier is kind of home in the organization, meaning he's with Dominique Ducharme in the Habs. He knows Dominique since he's very young. He knows me since he's very young. So we're kind of working to make sure Xavier is an asset that's ready to go in the game for the NHL. And when he's here, obviously he's a dedicated guy and he's well-liked. So it doesn't fix what the other guys, we feel the heartbreak from the other, but I know what you mean, is we got to keep going forward and we got to keep doing our job. And Xavier is definitely a guy that we like as a person, as a professional, and as a competitor. So, you know, for him to come here, and, you know, obviously he's going to get the C back, because when he's with us, he's a strong person and he's a worker, and he fits right into what we do.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks.